This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand. American forces are redoubling their efforts to capture Osama bin Laden in Afghanistan. It's been a long quest that didn't just begin after the 9/11 attacks. Washington Post managing editor Steve Call details the history of America's presence in Afghanistan in a new book, Ghost Wars. The book gives a behind-the-scenes account of the CIA's attempts to shape that country from the Cold War through September 10, 2001. It began when the U.S. secretly backed the Mujahideen, the Islamic rebels, against the Soviet-backed Afghan government. Those rebels included bin Laden. I asked Steve Call whether the U.S. had any reservations backing the Mujahideen.
Well, only during the late 1980s did these reservations surface, and they surfaced as the Soviets made plain that they were going to withdraw and that the main objective of the covert action had been achieved. At that time, some diplomats, mainly in the State Department, began to argue that the United States had to turn away from its radical Islamist clients and try to build a more moderate, normal Afghan politics by working with royalists and exiled intellectuals and the like. But the predominant opinion in the U.S. government, led by officers at the CIA at that time, was, let's just get out.
And so what drew them back in?
Well, Osama bin Laden and his threats against Americans and his proven ability to reach out and strike American targets after 1998. In the spring of 1998, CIA officers working with other officers in Pakistan put together a plan using paid Afghan agents to try to kidnap bin Laden from a farm that he lived on outside of Kandahar. They were going to pull him out of his bed in the middle of the night, take him to a cave for 30 days where they had provisioned food and water. And then they were going to fly in a plane and take him to the United States to put him on trial. But the plan was turned down. Different people, in retrospect, say for different reasons. Some say because it was unworkable, that wouldn't have succeeded. Other people emphasize that the CIA and the White House at that time were afraid of the risks involved and particularly afraid of civilian casualties in a shootout that might emerge.
Now, the CIA placed a lot of its hopes on one man, Ahmed Shah Massoud. You write a lot about him in your book. He's the former leader of the Northern Alliance. Tell us about him and his relationship with the CIA and what happened.
Well, Massoud was probably the most brilliant guerrilla leader in Afghanistan, dating way back to the 1980s. He thwarted Soviet troops in that period, and later he remained a formidable military commander who also had an interest in politics. By the late 1990s, he was the only commander on the ground in Afghanistan who was at war day in and day out with bin Laden's forces and with bin Laden's allies in the Taliban. In fact, the Taliban was seeking to exterminate Massoud, and Massoud was in an existential war, mostly in the north, but sometimes in the east of Afghanistan. The CIA saw him as its best hope because Massoud had motivation to get bin Laden, and also because Massoud was close to the front lines where bin Laden often traveled, and Massoud had an intelligence network of his own around Afghanistan, and probably had as good a fix as anybody on where bin Laden was, how al-Qaeda worked, and how the Taliban worked.
But he was a controversial character, right?
There were many in the Clinton administration, in the National Security Cabinet, and also at the CIA, professional analysts and officers who were reluctant to partner fully with Massoud. One reason was because there were reports that his forces, not so much him personally, but his forces were involved with drug smuggling, heroin trafficking, and also because earlier in the 1990s, while he was in government, some of his allies had engaged in terrible human rights abuses, and so there was a sense that he was a tainted figure. There was an opposing view which said, actually, among Afghans, he was a relatively tolerant and sort of politically savvy figure. And the thing that really galvanized the case for working with him was that he was really bin Laden's enemy. In fact, he was probably bin Laden's most potent enemy.
So the Clinton administration basically holds its nose and says, okay, we'll work with you if you can get bin Laden.
But only up to a point. Only up to a point. They were not. They had a series of what we now understand in retrospect were sort of secret debates, essentially around the question: how far with Massoud are we willing to go? And President Clinton signed off on classified authorities that said, in effect, to the CIA, you can work with him on intelligence collection, meaning you can give him money and equipment as long as it's not guns, for the purpose of trying to identify bin Laden's location. But I am not willing to let you help Massoud in his war against bin Laden and the Taliban. So no money, no equipment, no information that would fundamentally alter the Afghan battlefield. That was literally the phrase of the classified guidance.
Now, do you think if the Clinton administration had been more forthcoming with help, with money, with guns, with everything else, that it could have been successful in capturing bin Laden using Massoud?
Yeah, you sort of are reluctant to go too far with these what-if questions. I think it's fair to say that with the benefit of hindsight, it was by far the best shot they had. And Massoud was in a position, if he was a little more mobile and he had a little more active partnership from the United States or others, he was in a position to do something.
And when President Bush took office, what changed?
Not very much right away. The Bush administration received a series of briefings from the outgoing Clinton administration about the bin Laden threat, and that got the Bush administration's attention to a certain extent, but they were really quite slow to develop their own policy. As the summer of 2001 went along, they moved deliberately, but without a great sense of urgency.
Lately, the CIA and Pakistan have intensified their efforts, or redoubled their efforts, if you will, to capture bin Laden. And so how would you assess their prospects now? Massoud is gone. There doesn't seem to be anyone of his stature there in Afghanistan. How would you assess their prospects?
Well, I think the people involved feel like they're closer to locating bin Laden than they've been for a while. The key question is, how much can the Pakistanis help? How much are the Pakistanis willing to help? But I suspect that this is as good a shot as the Americans have had since the spring of 2002 to get at bin Laden. And I believe that there's at least some substantive reason why they sound so confident this spring.
Washington Post managing editor Steve Call. His new book is Ghost Wars, The Secret History of the CIA, Afghanistan, and Bin Laden, from the Soviet invasion to September 10th, 2001. Thank you so much for joining us on Day to Day.
Thanks very much for having me.